Chapter 5 Battle with the Ape Men. I'd been knocked unconscious by my fall. When I came to, I was aware of a terrible smell. I was in a deep pit with sloping sides. The bottom was covered with rotting flesh. In the middle of the pit floor was a tall post which had been sharpened to a spike. It was black with the blood of the creatures that had been impaled upon it. It was an animal trap, and it had been made by humans. Challenger was wrong. Human beings were able to survive where there were dinosaurs. Nervously, I crawled out of the pit, worried that the dinosaur that had been chasing me was still near. It was now early morning. Suddenly, I heard a rifle shot. It must be my companions. Perhaps they were firing the gun to guide me home. I hurried on and at last could see the thorn walls ahead of me. I gave a cheery shout and rushed into camp. What a terrible sight. My companions were gone. The grass was stained with blood, and all our belongings had been wrecked. I'd never felt so afraid and so alone. My only consolation was that faithful Zambo was still nearby somewhere, even if I couldn't reach him. I spent a restless day and night at the camp, not knowing what had happened, and was shaken awake the following morning by Lord John. But how different he looked! He was pale and wild-eyed, his face was scratched and bloody, his clothes were in rags and his hat gone. "Quick, young fella, quick!" he cried. "Get the other rifles, fill up your pockets with cartridges and some food. Don't wait to talk or think. Get a move on or we're done for." Still half awake, I followed him as we ran madly into the woods and hid ourselves in a thick clump of brushwood. He then told me what had happened. It was the ape men. My God, what brutes! It was early morning. Suddenly, it rained apes. They came down out of the trees. I got one shot off, but they knocked us to the ground and tied up our hands with creepers, jabbering all the while among themselves. Then they dragged us off to this town of theirs, thousands of huts made from branches and leaves. The big chief took a shine to Challenger, and you could see why. He had red hair and Challenger has black, but other than that, they looked exactly the same. If it wasn't so horrible, you'd have laughed. Challenger was taken off to the big chief's hut, but me and Summerlee were tied to a tree along with some other men. Poor little devils they were. Must be some kind of Indian. My God, what a nightmare. You remember those bamboo canes we saw with the skeleton? Well, that's just below the ape men's town. They took a bunch of those Indians and threw them over. Some were dashed to pieces, some were skewered. They've saved some over for today, including me and Summerlee, and probably Challenger too. Anyway, this morning I managed to loosen my ropes, gave my guard a kick, and ran back to the camp to fetch the guns. We'll have to take care, as those devils will be out searching for me, and you too, but we've got to go and rescue the professors. We hid some of our provisions in the brushwood, as we couldn't risk going back to our camp, then made our way back to the town. When we got there, we could see Summerlee had been hauled to the top of the cliff, and Challenger was begging the big chief for his life. The ape man pushed him aside roughly and shook his head. There was a crack from a rifle, and the chief fell to the ground, dead. "Shoot into the thick of them! Shoot, sonny, shoot!" Lord John cried. We fired our four guns, and there was panic as the ape men ran around in confusion. Quick-thinking Challenger realized what was happening and grabbed the bewildered Summerlee, dragging him towards us. The chattering brutes gave chase, and for mile after mile they were at our heels, until they grew tired of dodging bullets. Four of the Indians had followed Challenger too, and when we came to a stop, they flung themselves upon Lord John's boots in gratitude. We went to the place where we'd hidden our supplies, and Summerlee slumped to the ground.
"My word, you've pulled us all out of the jaws of death," he said weakly.
I told the others that the Indians must live in the caves I'd seen, and we should take them home when things had quietened down. The next morning, always on the lookout for the ape men, we set off for Lake Gladys. When we drew near, the Indians gave a shout of joy. Hundreds of canoes were being paddled across the water towards us. It was the Indian tribe. They were coming to rescue their friends. When they reached the bank, the Indians gathered together for a council of war. Although we couldn't understand the words they spoke, from their gestures and the tone of their voices, we worked out that they wanted to finish off the ape men once and for all, and they wanted our help.
"For my part, I was score to settle with those monkey folk," said Lord John. "I'm going with our little pals, and I mean to see them through the scrap. What do you fellas say?"
Challenger and I agreed at once, but Summerlee, as argumentative as ever, hesitated.
"It seems a most questionable step, and very far from the objective of this expedition," he said crossly. "However, if you're all going, I can't very well stay behind."
The battle took place the next day. We had our rifles, the Indians had arrows and knives, the ape men clubs and stones. It was brutal and bloody and lasted several hours, but at last the ape men were driven back to their town, and those who weren't killed fighting were forced to jump from the cliff onto the bamboo spikes below. The long rivalry of many centuries had come to an end, and we'd been there to see it.